glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Om Shri Sai Ram. I offer myself at the lotus feet of Lord Sai, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Good morning and thank you for joining us on this beautiful Thursday morning, February the 23rd, 2017. You are tuned to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The time in the ashram right now is 47 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time, and we apologize profusely for the delay in coming to you live. It was caused due to a human error, and collectively, Team Radio Sai wants to extend a heartfelt apology for this oversight. My name is Karuna. I'm an honor to be your RJ for this show that is coming to you live from the Divine Valley, which is perpetually on a high. The weather, for starters, is showing an upward trend. During the day, the summer is beginning to raise its hot head. But thankfully, our evenings and overnights are still in the comfortable zone. Today, we have lows of 23 degrees Celsius, but the mercury is expected to peak at 36 degrees Celsius in the afternoon. The good news is that along with the rising temperatures, the energy levels are also surging at Prashanthi Nilayam as we head into Mahashivaratri starting tomorrow evening. This is a festival that seems to draw serious spiritual seekers from all over the world. And my personal observation is that members of the Sai family from the Russian-speaking countries are here in very, very large numbers. The ashram is exceptionally busy, and the dining tables and the Western canteen are chock-a-block during peak hours, and everyone appears to be so happy to be here. Dear listeners, you must have noticed that throughout every Thursday Live, different members of Team Radio Sai remind you why life is an eternal celebration here in Prashanthi Nilayam. Dear brothers and sisters, that really is a fact. We're not exaggerating one bit. For instance, we are barely done with the Chinese New Year celebrations and the Parthi Yatra by the Adilabad devotees when the gratitude program big season started. And now, Mahashivaratri is upon us next. The gratitude programs, as you may know, begin when Baba's dearest students from various batches of Sai schools and university, that is the graduating batches, start presenting their gratitude to their beloved Bhagwan. March is exam time here, and then the school year generally comes to a close on April the 1st. And yesterday and day before yesterday, we had the girls from the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School present their program, and day before that, the boys from grade 12. Now, doesn't all this make you wonder, when do these children and their teachers complete the academic syllabus? Where do they find the time for the outstanding sports meet held just 1 month ago? Plus these dramas and the music programs. Let's not forget how well our Sai schools perform on their national board exams. In fact, they are ranked amongst India's top 10 for their academic excellence year after year after year. Clearly, it all goes back to that perfect rhythm of life that Bhagwan has set up in his institutions. And it is based on a combination of factors, which I think include dedicated teachers, disciplined students, super efficient time management, rigorous schedules, and of course the magic of Sai Grace, which is so palpable in everything that happens here every single day. Truly, there is no place in the universe as easy on the heart and as soothing on the soul as our Prashanthi Nilayam, the abode of highest peace. Today on Morning Glory, we bow to the divine force that runs this place, rendering our slice of heaven just the perfect paradise for spiritual seekers. Coming up on Morning Glory, at the bottom of the hour, we will conclude Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories with Mr. Bharat Sethuraman. You already heard part one last week, and today you can hear the conclusion right here in about half hour or 40 minutes from now. But first, a brand new episode of Tris with Divinity. Our guest today is Mr. R. Gangadharan. Have a listen, please. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Tris with Divinity. My guest today is Mr. R. Gangadharan. Mr. R. Gangadharan currently assists Mr. Unni in the accommodation office of the ashram at Prashanti Nilayam. Earlier on, in 2003, Mr. Gangadharan retired as the Senior Deputy Accountant General from AG Kerala. AG Kerala operates under CAG, which is the Comptroller and Auditor General of India. Currently, Mr. R. Gangadharan resides in Prashanti Nilayam, Puttaparthi, with his wife, Mrs. G. Mahalakshmi. He is a father of two grown-up daughters, both of whom are former SAI students, and he is the grandfather of a pair of twins. So on that happy note, I am very glad to welcome Mr. R. Gangadharan. Sairam, sir.
Sairam, madam.
And a warm welcome to Radio SAI.
Sairam, thank you.
Sir, given your long and deep association with the Lord of Prashanti Nilayam, I'm sure you can share with us a lot of learning that has happened along the way. For example, you know, we believe that whatever has to happen, when it happens, that is the right moment. In your case, although you had heard of Baba many times in passing throughout your life, it was only after Baba came in your dream and told you that he would bring you close to him after the birth of your second daughter, that it came to pass. Could you share that, please?
Yes, Sairam. Sairam to all the listeners in whose heart I am sure our Swami resides.
Yes, everyone's heart.
The first time I ever heard of Sai or Puttaparthi, that was in 1962. I was a second year degree graduate. At that time, I was unaware even of Shirdi Sai. Mostly in South India, where very, very rarely even Shirdi Sai worship was there. Whenever I used to see Shirdi Baba's photo, I thought he is one of the ever so many saints of India. One day, a respectable lady from our neighborhood, she came to me and she showed me one passport size photo. She told me, "Ganga, he is Puttaparthi Sathya Sai Baba. They say he is God. Tomorrow he is coming to Kornad." Kornad was suburban area of Mayiladuthurai, where we resided. Mm-hmm. Present name is Mayiladuthurai. In those days it was known as Mayuram. Mm-hmm. I saw the photograph. Red linen dress, crown hair. So it just gave me an impression that, hey, he looks like a mantravadi. That is, a man of witchcraft. So I did not have the interest and curiosity to go and see. Silently, I gave the photo back without any comments. Actually, I forgot the event also. That was all. Had I shown some interest, it would have been a golden opportunity of coming in the vicinity of Avadhar at that age of 18. But the time had not yet come for me. Later, after 6 years, I was in Bombay. I used to attend Thursday bhajans in the house of a gentleman in Chembur. One day, I participated in the Laksharchana conducted in the house. But I had no hesitation. They say he is God. I simply accepted it because in our family, the tradition is we are all subscribing to the idea, the concept of Advaitam. God is there in all human beings. There is only one God. He is in all. And this Baba must be a great saint. Therefore, God must be there more in him than in me. That was the approach. So what is wrong in my accepting him and doing arsana to him? That was my approach. With open-mindedness, I participated in the Laksharchana without knowing anything about Parthi Baba. Later, in 71, I was transferred to Madras from Bombay. Madras, that was the place where I was taken to more bhajans, Sai bhajans, And I was very much attracted by the loving disposition and discipline of the devotees, organizers. His melodious bhajan sessions and the very atmosphere in the bhajan venues, it was really attractive. I frequented those bhajans. I was not satisfied with myself with the position that I could not participate more actively in those bhajan sessions and other activities. So, something was stopping me, and I had responsibilities in the household. My parents were there, old parents were there, office responsibilities. I could not proceed in the right direction. Something stopped me. But the development for the better, when it will come, I didn't know. There was unrest in me, a sort of feeling of vacuum. It just happened in February 1977. I had been to a place in Tamil Nadu, Tanjavur. It is called Tanjur. It's called, Tamil name is Tanjavur. I went there for audit along with my colleague. I stayed in a hotel. Even though I remember, it was Ashoka Hotel. I never expected, during that night, I had a dream. In which Baba appeared. He was standing before me and I was crying. Swami, I am not able to improve myself. I am not satisfied with myself.
Mm-hmm.
When will I improve? So that I will have all the good activities going on in your organization. This was my prayer in that dream. Swami gave a wonderful smile and answered, you will have all these activities when you get your second daughter.
Hmm. You only had a little girl by then, one daughter.
At that time, my first daughter, her age was only one. That is, March 1976 was her month of birth.
Mm-hmm.
It was February 77. So that was off. I woke up. It was 2 a.m. at night.
Mm.
My marriage was in 1973. First daughter was born in 76 March. A significant dream foretelling a significant development that was in 1977. I had no idea of future. Naturally, what would be the next issue and when will the second daughter arrive? I had no idea. But it all happened in July 1978. I was transferred back to Bombay. That was in September 1978. My second daughter was born in June 1979. Yes, that was the year of a great beginning. The period that followed, it saw my participation or the participation of our family in various activities of Sai organizations in Bombay. We were part of Sayan Madala Samiti.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of Sai bhajan sessions. We were just mad. Very good bhajan. If something is reported, we will go there with our kid.
It had a very good decision, because your daughter who was in your lap grew to be such an amazing singer, G. Vidya, who sings for our Radio Sai specials also. She's so talented. So we are very happy to know that you introduced her to music so early in life. It paid off.
So Balvikas class was started in our house. My wife was the Balvikas teacher, selected by a senior most member of faculty in education and human values in Bombay. During 1987, I was made an instrument to conduct Sai bhajans in the government colony area. Gradually, it led to the formation of Satsang Satsang, that is, everyday bhajan in all the 7 days. All will attend all house bhajans, therefore, Satsang Satsang. The program, it came from a suggestion by the All India President of Sati Sai organization only. Immediately we took it. Daily bhajans in the residence of 7 devotees. Bhajan in all the days of the week. Gradually we had daily Nagar Sankirtan also.
Mm.
Originally it was once in a month. And one student said, who will wait for once in a next month? We will have once in a week. Even that was also not satisfactory. Thursday means next Thursday we have to wait. There was an unrest even in them. They wanted daily bhajans, daily Nagar Sankirtan. So our area was the first area in Bombay where daily Nagar Sankirtan was started. Then only came other areas. That was 1987. Quite surprisingly, the 108th day of that daily bhajan, daily Nagar Sankirtan, we had Swami's darshan in Dharmakshetra.
Mm. So Swami was visiting Mumbai?
Yes, in January. He somewhere started in October or November. The date I don't remember exactly, but we counted it because there, when it was announced, there is going to be a Nagar Sankirtan from Chakala Naka to Dharmakshetra. Tomorrow morning all should participate. There was an announcement. We had a dilemma. We are connecting it daily. Our area will miss the bhajan. What to do? Then I said, there is no cancellation, there is no postponement. Our daily Nagar Sankirtan is merged with the All India Nagar Sankirtan, Bombay Nagar Sankirtan. Tomorrow, at the end of it, we will have, hopefully we will have Divine Darshan. Yes, Divine Darshan was there. And afterwards, something irked me. I just calculated. It was 108th day. Who will arrange this?
Perfect.
It was Swami's Divine Sankalpa.
Yes.
He showed to us that he was happy. So, we did not miss any activity of the Sai Samiti there. Bhajan, study circle, Seva in hospital, blood donation drive, even door-to-door health education scheme, all those things. How Swami's one word in the dream fructified like this?
What power it had.
What power it had.
Yeah. So, obviously, you were more intense in your practice of his teachings and you were becoming very active in the mission. Did you begin to see, as you did in the case of 108 days leading to the darshan, the divine darshan, did you start experiencing his hand in everything around you? More and more things?
See, I had a desire to go to Parthi. Originally, when I had a darshan of Baba in Bombay, in Madras, in Venus Colony in 1975. From that time onwards, I wanted to go to Parthi, I could not. For that also, time came only in September 1980. So, I was frequently reminded of this phenomena. Unless Swami permits, nothing will happen to you.
That is so true. And he has said that no one can set their foot in Prashanthi Nilayam without my presence.
Exactly, exactly. Even now I am seeing that. And then one more instance I should quote for this particular phenomena. There is a time for everything, isn't it? When I was in Madras in 1978, before July, my colleague in the office suggested, you acquire this piece of land just opposite to my house. I will help you in constructing a house here because I have got enough experience here. So, there was a suggestion with prayers to Swami. I just made an attempt. Attempt means I didn't want to go in for loan and all that. We don't believe in getting loans and all that. That principle was that it should be only my money. I am entitled for house building advance or all those advances as per general financial rules of Government of India. I applied for that and getting documents, original, sending to office along with application. But in spite of waiting for 2 years, the advance did not come. I had no mind to going for loan to anybody, even my own close relatives at a later date, they told me, had you asked me, I would have given you 10,000 rupees is nothing, 5,000 rupees per ground. But, so I thought, it is not written on my head, I will not accept divine sankalpa. Later what happened, in 1986, when I came to Parthi, to one of my visits here, I met one lady, she told me, Gangadharan, your friend Ramachandran has come. He is acquiring some lands here for construction of house. If you are interested, you can see. But I already decided I will not go in for such any attempt because already my attempt has failed. So, I had no desire at all. Very next day, morning, when I was sitting in the mandir for Omkaram and Suprabhatam, the man sitting next to me was that Ramachandran. When the lights were on after the Om Shanti Shanti, and I saw he was here. Oh, yesterday evening, the lady talked about him. When I came back, then the crowd dispersed, no? Then Nagar Sankirtan. After the Nagar Sankirtan was over, again Om Shanti Shanti, again you open your eyes, he is standing beside you. Then I dispersed, because I was not interested in talking to him. I was walking very fast towards my routines, having a morning drink, breakfast, etc. Again, the same person coming along with me. Then because he was my friend, I just wanted to open the conversation. Hey, yesterday only Mr. Sarada Prabhakaran was telling your name that you are interested in acquiring some lands and that. Hey, are you interested? Are you interested? Come with me. He held my hand, he did not leave it. I said, I am not interested, yaar. I only told you that I heard your name yesterday. No, he did not leave me. He did not leave my hand. He dragged me to the house of that owner of the land. And another friend also joined us. And he said, see, you please be my neighbor. I will do everything. The same wordings of my friend in Madras. I will do everything for you. Constructive. See, you will only finance. All other things, I will do it. I will supervise the land. You please be my neighbor. That's sufficient. He did not leave me at all. So it came like that. So what happened finally? 1989, end of it, it was almost over in May 1990, the Graha Pravesham was conducted here. Baba was indirectly telling me, when I have got a plan to bring you here, how can I acquire a house in Madras? It was unspoken language of Swami.
As they say, God's delays are not his denial.
So, you said, you know, there is a time for everything. And no atom moves without divine will.
That is right.
These are all instances to prove in life that nimitta matram bhava.
Usually we come to this realization only when we look back. But when, for example, something seemingly disappointing happens, we're not too happy. But we don't know. But that's because God has a better plan for us.
Yes.
He has thought things through very nicely for us. So, you know, you obviously have lived a life of deep commitment to Swami's teachings, very active in your samiti levels, very active in all kinds of sevas. And that is how I see that. That has helped you and guided you in everything, your personal life, your professional life, your acquiring the house, all the promotions you have had.
Exactly, exactly. I'll tell you more about it. See, when we came to Parthi in November 1982, my daughters were 6-year-old and 3-year-old. Just we were accommodated in the erstwhile shed numbers 3 to 5. Along with various other families. Because of festival time, the sheds were overcrowded. For anything and everything, there was a long queue. Long waiting before the bathrooms, toilets, during early hours of the day. This was unavoidable. Therefore, the time was packed from morning to night. In the shed, my wife became very friendly with a family from Punjab. They were staying adjacent to us in the shed. I had my own routine right from early morning 4 a.m. I didn't want to miss any activity of the ashram. Omkaram, Suprabhatam, Nakar Sankirtan, Darshan, Bhajan, and some service activities also. Madras MT was in service, therefore I joined them also to the extent possible. Daily course, therefore, had to be planned in advance. With accurate timings, because as I told you, there were unavoidable waiting in queue everywhere. One day, I just wanted to attend a particular study circle lecture scheduled in the ashram in the morning hours. I came to know of the program very late, therefore had to rush for preparation. I just went to the shed. See, on such occasions, your mind runs fast, but the body wants to keep up the same speed. Therefore, I was in a hurry. But I was stopped. When I went to the shed, my wife reported that our bucket had been taken by the lady the adjacent Punjabi family to the bathroom, and therefore I had to wait. So I was restless. I was left with hardly half an hour. Within this time I should finish my routine in bathroom and the canteen, then only to the lecture hall. No chance of attending the lecture if I was made to wait. I was really upset. Lost my patience, lost my temper also. I shouted at my wife, "What is this? I have no objection in anybody's using our buckets and all that. But should it not be available when we require for our use?" I shouted. My wife was upset. Later, the Punjabi woman was also upset. She was unhappy, I came to know. Anyway, left with no other alternative, I missed my bath and rushed to the canteen. With drooped spirits, I went and occupied a bench there in the old canteen. That was the canteen before renovation.
Yes.
I looked up. After sitting in a bench, messages were displayed, you know, in the walls. Oh, what was the Baba's message inscribed in the wall just opposite to the place where I sat? "All are one. Be alike to everyone." That was the message. Really, I felt I was slapped.
Very hard hitting.
See, I felt that Swami was admonishing me with this message. If instead of the Punjabi woman, my mother or sister, has she been there in the scenario with bucket in the bathroom, would I have shouted? So, immediately these feelings, emotions just tormented me. Having come to the land of Baba, Lord of Love, should I make a difference between relatives and non-relatives? That was the message. If I accept that all are God's children, how could I look at the Punjabi woman as others? Should I not view everyone as my family member? It was as good as a shock treatment for me. There were many messages of Baba displayed in the walls of the canteen. But why should I sit in that place to see only this message? "All are one. Be alike to everyone." Who regulated my movement? Who made me sit at that particular moment? So it was clear. It was very, very clear that Swami was telling me
a very important lesson.
So that was the beginning. See, somebody told me Prasanthinilayam is not just a pilgrimage center. It is a workshop where you are molded. If you want to be a devotee and if you give yourself in the missionary of Sai devotion and Sai organization activity, and isn't it? So you are molded by Swami from time to time.
And we all experience it, and it's not easy. It's painful when you're going through it. It hurts the ego, but I guess we all come out better from it. Now, when you live a life that is so devoted to Swami all the time, do you feel that you're missing out on the pleasures of the world?
But certain things naturally came to us. See, I wanted to leave my coffee habit even very early, because before coming to Swami, I was in the fold of Mahaperiva, senior pontiff of Kanchi Shankaracharya, who lived for 100 years. I used to frequent Kanchipuram for darshans. So even in response to what Mahaperival said, I wanted to leave the coffee. But when I went to village during one of my leave period from Bombay, you know, my mother, she was not for that. "Hey, we elders are taking coffee, why should you stop?" "No, you take this." So that was postponed. But again, after 1979, I prayed to Swami in Whitefield and Mahaperival also, and left coffee. My leaving coffee was not a big thing. My wife, you know, she cannot leave coffee. She, at exact evening, 3 hours, you know, if there is no coffee, she will be out of woods. Therefore, even when we are traveling, you know, which station comes, I
thought next,
it was my bother. She said, "Somehow I had to get coffee for her." Within a short time, she told me that Swami appeared in her dream, asked her to leave coffee, because it will bring cholesterol problems for her, she said. and she left coffee effortlessly once she got the dream. See, these things, you know, we don't plan, you know. We just think that we are doing, but it is all done with the divine sanction and the divine plan. That's all. Even earlier, I used to frequent the cinema houses before having Sai activities, you know. Now that was completely stopped from 1979.
I don't go to cinemas.
Even in our house from 1995, there is no TV.
How do you stay informed about the world?
That you come to know some of the very, very important items of news and all that. When you go to office, you don't read the newspapers. You just
glance through the headlines.
No.
You don't miss any entertainment.
Even now, I don't read newspapers.
Yeah.
I just glance through it.
Because today's newspaper is tomorrow's waste paper. I know. We attach too much importance to it. And what about, do you miss entertainment?
Entertainment, you know, music is our weakness. Carnatic music, it is in our blood, in the family. Therefore, I cannot leave that. If you want me to talk about entertainment, yes. When there were enough soy activities, no, we sacrificed everything. For example, when I was in Antapil, Government Colony, Bombay, particular time, you know, I was given responsibility in the organization also. I was spiritual wing coordinator for some time and then service wing coordinator, all those things. When you have a meeting of all soy sevaks in our samiti, at that time, even the best concert for whom you would have already gone, even if it is there in Shanmugananda, you don't go. My own relatives were performing in Shanmugananda. We attended only Sai activities. Thus, you cannot, it is just like your daily course, no? You cannot miss it. Mm-hmm. So, it's all made possible by Swami. And then Carnatic music, when I was in Madras, I used to go, when I returned from office, you know, I used to go to a Carnatic music concert and used to return to my quarters only during 8:30 or 9 o'clock night. Daily one concert, almost. But both of us decided that after retirement we are going to settle in Puttaparthi. We will have Swami's service and Swami is everything. I was very fortunate. I was blessed with a family. There was no difference of opinion between myself and my wife on this point. And at that time also I decided, after going to Parthi, no more music. Whatever is available, it's all right.
But
at that time there was no mobile and all that, isn't
but
it?
But we have concerts in the mandir almost every day.
I didn't know that is the concerts here. It cannot be a substitute for 3 hours concert or 4 hours concert which you have in music academy and other sabhas, no? Anyway, we were prepared to reconcile for this thing.
You seem like such a happy person. You live a life of deep gratitude. You're full of life and very appreciative of everything you have. What can you share with our listeners about this very positive energy and attitude that you carry around?
What should I say? This is all only, I can only say one word, that is only everything is Swami's grace. Mm-hmm. Swami's grace comes to you once you take to his worship and nama. See, I will tell you how that his nama saved me from a contrived situation.
Right, please do.
See, last 3 years of my service, I was in Trivandrum, AG Kerala, April 2000 to January 2003. In other places, I had no necessity, but Trivandrum, I found that a double wheeler was very essential for mobility. Previously, I was knowing only cycling. In Madras, I was a pedestrian, even as a deputy accountant general. But at Trivandrum, you have to be in office at 9 o'clock sharp. There is no other help. There was no proper transport and all that. So, I had to learn scooter. One of my acquaintances, a boy who was with me in Bombay, he came forward. He was my guru. Mm-hmm. For learning scooter riding. I was very thankful to him for his sincere and enthusiastic approach. At that time I was 58 years old. I obtained license, started riding a scooter. Oh, this is how I resorted to scooter riding. But you learned it at 58, no? Therefore, you meet with some initial obstacles. What I did, safely I did one thing. From the time of learning, and thereafter even now, I developed the habit of reciting in my mind Swami's Nama. Om Sri Sai Rama, Rama Rama, whatever it may be. Some Rama, some name of the God turns out to be a very great protection. There was an instance to prove this. One day, I went to the State Bank of India. It was main branch, just opposite to the AG's office premises in Trivandrum. After finishing my work, I came out after finishing the transaction. I was only just to enter my office in the opposite side. One bus was stopping in the State Bank of India side. Once that bus leaves, you know, it'll be easy for me to go straight to enter our office along with my scooter. So I safely looked right side and left side. I made sure that there were no vehicle traffic in the vicinity, no hindrance for my straight movement. I started crossing the road. Just 2 to 3 yards, my scooter would have moved. One motorcycle came flying from the right side in lightning speed. There was a turning. That person did not expect me. Immediately after turning my vehicle, he did not expect. But he did not reduce the speed. The mistake was his only. But he just dashed my vehicle, flying from the right side, lightning speed. Both of us fell down with the vehicles. Within a fraction of a second, everything happened. But I managed to stand, leaving the vehicle flat on the road. That motorcycle wala, he was very badly hurt. Both of our vehicles were badly damaged. He was blabbering in his own language, Malayalam, accusing me to cover his mistakes. He was shouting. Both the vehicles were damaged, but there was not a bit of injury on my body. He was seriously hurt. I kept my temperament also very cool and I was really calm. It was not my mistake, that is why. Motorcycle wala raising his voice in defense, but finding the condition of my vehicle and guessing that he would not get support from anybody, he left the spot early, flying away in his vehicle again. But who saved me in that accident? There was not a bit. I was not at all hurt. There was not a scratch in my body. I had to spend about 2,000 rupees for repairing the vehicle. The vehicle was damaged, but not me. I really understood that it was because I was always with Swami's name in my tongue, in my mind. It was a reflex action, no? To say Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, while riding the vehicle. That saves you.
Well said.
In those days, Swami used to visit Bombay once in a year at least. Earlier it was twice in a year. Later he made it once in a year. I will tell you, madam, about my experiences during Swami's visit in 1986 and 1988. Swami was visiting Shanmukhananda, that was one of the programs, in 1986. The science and spirituality was the subject. Some Bengali gentleman presided over that. And as members of Satisai Vadala Samiti, Satisai Organization Vadala Samiti, Sayan Vadala Samiti, we had duties there as a Sai Sevaks. At that time, no, I was made spiritual wing coordinator or service wing coordinator, I forgot now. Morning 7:30 we went there for taking our duty. 1986. When I went there along with my friend, nobody else was there, then the organizers came. At that time, you know, my friend, you know, instead of him asking the question, he protected me. Hey, please ask them. It is our own samiti. We have come first. Where shall we have duty? Will it be in the stage or outside? Innocently, I went and asked that leader there. That leader told me, hey, your duty is in the threshold. You go to the gate. People will be coming with passes. You take the passes and send them inside. That was my duty. I took it. So this is Swami's orders. I directly went to the gate and I took duty there, only checking the passes and then permitting people to go inside. That way, there was no darshan of Baba, no hearing of lecture, nothing was there, only your duty was outside. I took it very normal. After the program also, Baba left the place to the other gate. And when I went inside, the hall was almost empty. I went to the stage only to take my chappals. That was 1986 visit. 1988, 2 years after. I remember the date also, it was 18th March 1988. Bhajagovindam by Swami's PhD students drama was enacted there. All actors were PhD students of Swami. That was the program. Similar situation. And again, we had duty there. Myself and my convener, both of us, entered the hall morning 7:30. So we were given duty to the first class compartment bearer. Then they told me, see, you just identify the numbers of the chairs. So afterwards, you know, when the program starts, it will be dark. People will be entering there. No, you have to see what is their number and then guide them to the seat, correct seat. So you are making some effort. At that time, Mr. Nimish Pandya, presently, he is All India chairman. He came to the stage and shouted, "Hey, which one of you knows how to do that panchakacham? That is a particular way of wearing the dhoti by the pandits." Mm-hmm. I raised my hand. Go, rush. Go to the green room. And there are people waiting there. You have to do that panchakacham. You have to help. So my duties changed. Originally planned was in the downstairs. Now suddenly I was sent inside. So there were people were standing with all of the dhotis. I helped them to wear the dhoti in that pandit's way. We call it as panchakacham. When I was doing that, suddenly there was a spell of silence. Before looking back, I saw Swami behind me. Swami had come to the green room and he came directly to me only. And when I had double medicine, should I stop this and then look at Swami? But I am not supposed to leave my duty in the middle also. All these thoughts came to me and then I was continuing to do that. Swami also said, that way only. He asked if he is helping me. That way. This way only. That way only. So he encouraged me to do, karo. These are the only two words Swami talked to me in the entire life. Karo.
Do.
But even now, whatever I am doing is
at his command. Karo. Keep doing.
Yes. Then, of course, afterwards also, the program was, throughout the program I was remained the stage only. In those days there was no recording, only live playing, you know, all the instruments, singers, actors. It was a wonderful experience. Finally, after the program was over, Swami came to the stage and he was talking to singer Hariharan, who gave his program earlier to the drama. Mm-hmm. He was talking to Hariharan.
The famous playback singer from Bollywood.
Exactly. Swami Vibhuti leta hai? He asked him. And he created Vibhuti and he was giving him and his children. At that time, one gentleman who was holding an important post in that Sabha itself, he had his own influence. No? He just came, rushed inside. He talked in Tamil to Swami. I think I'll have to translate it in English only. You know that Vaidyanathan of Tirunelveli? He's an ardent devotee, if you do you remember. He was asking Swami. It was very obvious that he did not know anything about Swami. He was mistaking Swami as a man. And even now I distinctly remember the facial expression of Swami. Swami just looked up as if he is in a pensive mood trying to recollect. He was keeping his face. He is mentioning about some Vaidyanathan and Tirunelveli. So, as if he is in a... His eyebrows, you know, it wrinkled. As if he is trying to recollect, he kept his face. It was only for a few seconds. And then people came there and took away Baba. It was my understanding of that situation was afterwards. So this, all these thoughts came to me at a later date. Swami has already stated, I am God for those who take me as God. I am a guru for you if you take me as a guru. I am just a man if you take me as a man. That particular gentleman, he took Swami as a man. Do you remember, he is asking, do you remember one Vaidyanathan from Trinidad? He is an ardent devotee of you. He was telling, he wanted to talk to Baba, is telling something. Swami also behaved like a man, as if he just looked up, as if trying to
remember like which Vaidyanathan. Very interesting.
So it was very interesting for me to observe that it was in the stage, Shanmugananda stage. So now, you just see, 1986, Shanmugananda visited. Whatever orders were given to me, I just obeyed the orders as if it is given by Swami. I went out. I was denied darshan completely. I didn't bother also. After 2 years, Swami has given me the ultra experience.
He made up for this sacrifice you made
then,
for your duty.
Then, the 86 you had that experience, no?
Right.
Now what experience I am giving you, just see. He came to me, he told me karo karo, and he, that experience was really good experience, you know. I just thought about both experiences in contrast. So, in a way, if you practice principles, even if you forget, Swami doesn't forget. Yeah. And he takes care of you. He gives you what is due to you, even if you forget about it.
Very true, and very important point. He knows, he has eyes everywhere, and you know, sometimes people might get carried away trying to impress some official or higher ups. If only we worry about making Swami happy, everything else is taken care of. Swami takes care of everything, and he makes up in so many ways.
So all devotees know that Swami had told about his appearing in the dream of devotees. If I appear in your dream, it's not a dream. It is as good as Jagrata. It's completely true. At my will, I appear in your dream. That was his message. Not only this, unless Swami Sankalpam is there, no one can have him in his dream. So, what I thought, logically it follows that there must be a message or blessings from him hidden behind the dream to the devotee. Sometimes the message may be very personal to the devotee. Some devotees may not like to disclose the same to others. Sometimes it is otherwise. Somehow, I feel like telling you about this dream. Once, I don't remember, I had a dream. I also believe there is a message in this dream. Swami was sitting in the center of a room. Around him, in a circle, there were a number of monkeys. And Swami was in a very happy mood, interacting with the monkeys, monkeys of Bhartam, etc. I could only see the gestures. The monkeys, they were naturally very happy, you know, during this sort of interview given by Swami. I was standing outside the circle. A small distance was there. But I was admiring and enjoying the interview to monkeys by Swami. That sight was really wonderful. After some time, Swami casually turned to the direction where I was there. He observed that I was present there looking at them. Suddenly, his smiling face disappeared. In a split of a second, that smile disappeared and he grew wild. He was very angry. I could see all the anger in his face. There was nobody else, therefore I had to be the target, isn't it? I felt aghast. I do not remember his dialogue now. Whatever he told in Telugu, I could not understand. But he expressed his anger, asking me as to why I came there, categorically telling that I had no business to be there on the spot. But that was all. The dream ended. Do you follow? What is the message? I did not quite follow the significance of the dream for some days. I was thinking, at that time, nothing came to my mind. But I was very unhappy that I was the target of his anger. I had incurred the wrath of God, whom I adore and I worship. There was a confusion also. Why at all I was a target? What sin I had committed? I was an innocent observer. Actually, I was enjoying the whole scenario. The monkeys were happy. He was happily talking to them. I was only lucky. I was lucky enough to observe this scenario, I thought. But after some days, it just struck my head. Swami's admonishment must have been this way. His unspoken dialogues could have been this way, I thought. I am God to all and as well as animals too. But that does not mean you can also enter that circle.
Circle of monkeys.
Yes. You cannot lower yourself so as to have animal qualities and come in that area and seek to gain my approval and blessings for that. Control of senses must have been his message, I thought. You should not have animal qualities. You should not have the tendency to treat such animal qualities as very normal to you. You are not normal in that group. How could you join that group? That must have been his message, I thought. This was only an interpretation. I don't know what at all he talked in Telugu and all that. I was convinced that the message was, be a man. Have control over your senses. Don't reduce yourself to an animal insofar as qualities are concerned. Mm-hmm. Do not allow animal qualities to possess you. Mm-hmm. Why that dream should have come to me? He wanted to pass on this message. He takes care of you. He is interested in your improvement. Even in accommodation office, I myself observed there is a difference between what I was 10 years back and what I am now. My boss, he used to always monitor me. Hey, those fellows in the counter, coming to the counter, they may misbehave, they may talk rubbish, but you have no business to lose your temper. You have to be polite in spite of anything. Initially, see, there is always supposing, in spite of repeating 5 times, man sticks to his original attitude means you lose your temper. There is something called righteous indignation, you know. It just comes and possesses you. You also raise your voice. But that should not be the case. Even 100th time, you be polite.
Are you able to do that?
I have a lot. I have improved a lot. I cannot say that I am scoring 100% now.
What can I say, sir? You are a very good self-auditor apart from having retired as a senior deputy accountant general from the Auditor General's office. You are also a very good self-auditor. And what has really struck me is the fact that for a person who has had a two-word verbal exchange with Swami, where Swami only told you 2 words, karo, karo, one word he said twice. You have really taken that as a mantra for life and you have been just working and running with that to keep doing and serving him.
Jai Sai Ram, but I can only say everything is Swami's grace.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is Swami's grace. Without his grace, nothing moves in life. That's all.
Yeah. And even our ability to maybe strive to improve ourselves or show gratitude for what he has done, it is his grace truly. But I guess the grace is open to all. One has to be empty to receive it.
Exactly. To pose for the photograph.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for your honesty with which you shared your journey to Swami and your experiences. And the forthrightness, I'm sure, is going to touch a lot of people.
Thank you, Madam Sairam.
Madam. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back. You just heard Trisvi Divinity with Mr. R. Gangadharan, who works at the accommodation office in the ashram at Prashanthi Nilayam. We welcome your thoughts, suggestions and feedback to this interview. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. And now, before I play for you the conclusion of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories with Mr. Bharat Sethuraman, let me thank you for your company on Morning Glory. By the way, Mr. Sethuraman is a former Sai student and he's in conversation with my colleague, Mr. Bishop Rushti. Have a listen, please, and do not forget to send us your feedback to this interview by email and to any other Radio Sai programs. Our listener feedback line is listener@radiosai.org. Till we meet next Thursday, Please be well, keep seeking, and do whatever it takes to stay positive and stay inspired. Jai Sai Ram.
So he was telling you, wait, there will come a time when your wait will give you all that you are waiting for now.
Exactly. See, you'll never understand Swami till the right time comes.
Amazing. Wow. And actually, when you look at the drama, you know, it is your weight which gave you that role. Because I was thinking from how did Bharat come into this role? Bharat was not an actor. And, you know, perhaps they wanted someone who looks little aged and, you know, looks experienced and whatever. And so given your size, you know, no one can discount you for your seniority and for your experience, you know. So I think perhaps that is what also ensured that you got that role in the drama.
Actually, no, because to be honest, I was also wondering, I'm not an actor. How in the world did they actually think of calling me if you want to be a part of the drama?
Mm-hmm.
So we checked with the boys.
Mm.
Apparently, they just randomly, I'll tell you exactly what they said.
Mm.
He took the mobile because he needed someone for the role.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Swami, I'm going to move the names of the alumni boys here.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever name comes is the person you want to be in that role.
Oh.
And apparently that's how I got the role.
Wow.
And I would actually go further in saying that it was 27th night. I was supposed to travel from Bahrain to Puttaparthi. All my flights got cancelled. Bahrain airport got closed.
Mm-hmm.
Because of bad weather.
Okay.
So I was moved to the next day morning flight. The next day morning flight was supposed to be at 9:50 in the morning. That got further delayed to 11:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still in Bahrain. And generally what happens once you come to India, your mobile network never works. So that morning is when these brothers called me up and asked me, do you want to take part in the drama?
Mm-hmm.
So, all this missing the flight was only so that he can access my Bahrain number. Because once I come to Bharti, he may not be able to catch me in Bahrain number.
Oh.
And I would not even think of calling him. It's wow. A big drama, I would say, but it's a big blessing.
Wow. So, because on 20th morning you were still in Bahrain, you could actually connect. The exactly. Other boys could actually connect with you.
Exactly.
Wow.
If you want to put it on a lighter side, Swami closed the whole Bahrain airport just so that I can act in the drama.
Well, the weight of his grace.
The weight of his grace. Grace. That's right.
Fantastic. Wow. It's really so amazing, isn't it, when you think about all the dimensions in which he works. There is nothing that is light. Everything is really weighty, and weighty with meaning. But also, when I looked at the drama, you know, your character also fitted in, you know, into that role so perfectly. Because for that role, they wanted someone senior and someone who looks older and someone who, you know, given your size, you definitely look a person who is senior. And it just fitted in. You could not have become a student.
Well, keeping a fact that twice you said I'm old, other than that,
yeah.
Well, that's on the lighter side.
Yeah.
But this whole drama was done by Swami.
Hmm.
It is his drama, and everyone had a real, what do you say, a love for Swami.
Yes.
When they actually even practiced for the drama.
Yes.
And the best part, whenever we had a break or whenever some recording had to be redone, at such a point of time, we just used to sit together and our brothers used to talk about how that time with Swami was.
Wow.
So, even in the waiting period was only a connect with Swami.
Beautiful.
So, it's Swami everywhere. Even this drama, like I said before, I never had the faith in myself that I can even remember one or two lines after 2 days. Because the first practice started only on the 30th. It clearly shows that I did nothing in the drama.
Wow.
everything was taken care by Swami.
Amazing.
And all the people who called us were the instruments of Swami.
All the actors are handpicked by Swami.
By Swami. Swami decided who will be in which role, who will take care of what, who will be instrumental in getting everyone together, who will be instrumental in directing the play. Swami has picked the right and apt person for each job. I'm not saying I'm the right person, but he's picked me. But he's
yes,
actually everyone are his selection.
And that is the reason why it just went straight into the hearts of all the alumni and all the devotees, because the message was so powerful. It's really fantastic.
Very true. It's nothing but pure surrender. Surrender at the lotus feet. You leave it to him, especially if the main characters are Vishwa.
Yes.
The way he realizes, and his professor, the MD.
Yes.
The way Margadashi sir sacrificed everything, even when his daughter was not well.
Yes.
He said, he has his duty to follow. Swami says, you do your duty, I'll take care of the rest. A lot of messages, if you look at the play, every scene almost has a message, which you can actually take home. But the overall summary is, surrender to him. He will take care of everything. He is the doer.
So Bharat, what prompted you to go on to do your CA after your days in Vrindavan?
If you remember the old times in Thrai Vrindavan, every day after evening darshan, we have a session in Thrai Vrindavan, after bhajans, where Swami sits with all the boys, talks to them, jokes with them, makes fun of them. Sometimes he selects more members in bhajan groups also in that one Thrai session. So once it so happened on my birthday, generally if it's your birthday, you go forward. So on that day of 1996, I went. I was the first person to sit under Swami's chair. Swami with his feet on my legs. And Swami was sitting on the jeweler. And he was talking to the boys. Then he looked at me. He asked me what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I told him I wanted to MBA.
This was in your final year?
It was my final year. The 1996 January. So, he asked what I wanted to do further. So, I said, Swami, I wanted to do MBA.
In Bhagwan's?
In Bhagwan's Institute. So, then Swami said, don't do MBA. Because my brother has already done MBA. You should not have two MBAs in your family.
Oh, he said that?
So, I said, oh my God. I was still thinking, at the end of the day, you're God. You can change anything you like. But at that time, I didn't want to say anything because you won't even be able to say it. Yeah. To be honest, when you come in front of Swami, you're saying, okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say this. But when you go to come Swami, blessings. That's yeah. All happens.
Yes.
It never comes out. So I was sitting over there. Then I was also thinking of saying that time MFM was also there. I was thinking of MFM.
Masters
but before that, Swami said, Appa enna pichu, Appa enna pandrar. All of a sudden, English became Tamil.
Mm-hmm.
Swami spoke to me in Tamil. Appa enna pandrar. That means, what did your father do? Oh, I'm sorry. He actually said, what did your father say? Appa enna chonnar. I heard it as Appa enna pandrar.
Mm-hmm.
So, that one sentence Swami said in Tamil, and he said, what has your father asked you to do? Or mm-hmm. what is your father's wish that you will do it? What did I hear? What has your father done?
Mm-hmm.
What is your father's qualification?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, CA. The best thing, a little background of this, I'm a person who hated CA.
Oh, is it?
Anybody who comes to me, I said, don't do CA, man. Waste of time.
Oh.
But then, and Swami asked, what has your father asked you to do? Hearing it as, what has your father done? I said, CA. Swami said, CA. Very good course. Very good course.
Oh.
Okay. There. Already the hammer started hitting the nail. Then he said, okay, you can join Brahmayan Company.
Brahmaya and Company. Yeah. It's a CA firm.
Mm-hmm. Frankly, I never heard of that firm before. And at that point of time, I couldn't argue with Swami. No, Swami, I want to study. I just couldn't argue because Swami went on and on about Brahma and company.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next half an hour, the discussion between the warden and Swami was Brahma and company.
Oh my God.
So they were fully discussing in Brahma and company. And Swami has asked me to join Brahma and company. And I didn't have a chance to speak to Swami after that because of the conversation going on. Because I can't interrupt Swami over there. Then what happened? As usual, because of all the pampering we have received from Swami, I said, okay, I'm going to change Swami's mind. So after the exams and all, Swami had gone to Kodaikanal. I followed Swami to Kodaikanal. I was so confident that I'll talk to Swami and make him change his mind. He'll make sure that I'm studying in Swami's college. So if I go to the east, Swami goes to the west.
Oh.
If I go to the north, Swami goes to the south.
In the Kodai Darshan grounds.
In Kodai Darshan grounds. So wherever I am, Swami will never come that side. Or if he by mistake comes that side, he'll be watching someone else in another direction totally. I'm totally ignored. He'll be looking at that point. Why? Because I'm not here for his blessings. I'm here to change his mind.
You thought that I can change the God's mind.
Exactly. It's like saying, Swami, your decision's wrong. Please change it. It's more like that, saying, Swami, you can change your mind. I can come and study in your college. MFM is also there.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Swami never came near me. So as time passed by, I said, okay, it's time to go. Then I said, the best thing to do with Swami at this point is sign language. So in Kodai, I was sitting slightly in the front. Swami was in the distance. So in sign language said, Swami, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Swami nodded his head, looking at me, blessed me and turned away to the other direction. It's more like saying, thank you for leaving. But that's not where the story ends.
Mm.
So I went to Chennai. I joined Brahma and Co. The summer course was there. So I came back to Whitefield.
After a month or so.
After a month. And I joined the summer course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there also Swami actually did not come close to me.
The outgoing batches were allowed to participate.
Yes, at the time the outgoing batches. Mm-hmm. Actually, initially the outgoing batches were not permitted to participate in the initial stages.
Mm-hmm.
But then after one interview, Swami said, no, ask all those boys to participate.
Nice.
So he gave special permission for the boys.
Beautiful.
Over there, he had asked our Gopi sir, what is that boy doing?
Mm-hmm.
Gopi sir, luckily, I had spoken to him, saying that Swami asked me to join this audit firm. So I'm joining this firm. And I've already enrolled over there. So he confirmed that to Swami, that I have joined the audit firm, just as Swami has instructed. Swami said, very happy. And he went in.
Wow.
And that was where the seal was given. I can't change his mind any further.
You change your mind. Don't try to change the divine's mind.
Well, it's worth a try.
So that you know that how strong is the divine mind and how strongly the divine mind can hit your mind so that it alters and it learns to surrender to the divine will.
Very true. Keyword is surrender.
So how was it after that? You were happy doing your CA?
Yes. One thing I've noticed is with all the teaching that Swami has actually given, what's the word that Swami uses? My life is my message. All you need to do is follow the kind of character sketch or the behavior which Swami has drilled into you during your days with Swami. After that, I have never had a problem. If any issues crop up, they get smoothly resolved without without me getting into any serious issues or major issues with my bosses. I don't know, Swami has just taken me as a smooth ride till today. Even there have been times when it's like I have only a few more days after which I won't be having a job. All of a sudden from nowhere, another person comes and says, there's a job opening. Come and join us, and instantly that's over. In no time. Things like that have happened. Swami has shown His infinite grace in every step, that I never had to go out, or rather, go out of my way to prove myself. He has always cleared the path, provided you follow the guidelines that Swami has given.
So what are those guidelines which are very, very close to your heart, which you follow very steadfastly?
Now, I would say it in a very easy term, is to be simple.
Mm-hmm.
Because with what all I have experienced, it's more like the more I that you have, or the more ego that you have, you can say it, the more pride that you have, that'll actually take you for a ride. So if you ask anybody who knows me, I'm a guy who's never serious. Even for this drama, people are actually shocked that I didn't smile. There are bets going on everywhere that, okay, in this serious position, Bharat is going to smile now. He's shouting at someone, but he's going to laugh now.
People are surprised to see you so serious. You have to be serious in that drama. Because people always have seen that bubbly Bharat. Yes.
Basic principle of Swami, be simple.
Yes.
And do His job. But it's also there that even if you have some responsibility, for example, in the samiti you are, if some responsibility is there, but your official duty calls for you to be there and take care of some activity, you have to do that first. Because that duty comes first. Other things Swami will take care. Swami will ensure everything goes smoothly. You do your duty, I'll take care of the rest.
You have experienced that?
Actually, throughout my life. Because whatever has to be done, He does it. He makes sure that I don't have that problem. Even if a duty calls, when I do the duty also, somehow or other the work gets done here.
Mm-hmm.
Swami makes sure that there is no problem in any of the activities that have to be taken care of. Provided you have the sincerity and a faith that Swami is going to take care of you.
So there are times when you get very busy in the samiti work and professionally things get sorted out.
Both ways.
And sometimes you are busy in professional work and your responsibility in samitis are managed by someone else.
Exactly. Both ways, Swami is the one who takes care of everything. The basic point that I'm trying to give it here is, if you have a responsibility, just do it. Don't bother about anything. Swami is there to take care of everything.
So I think, but there are certain moments, you know, when so palpably you feel His presence, you know. You just, there are those wow moments when you feel His presence so remarkably. I mean, yes, He's there at every second, every moment you feel the way He's guiding. But can you share one or two instances when you think about Bhagwan being there in your life? You feel, wow, oh my God, Swami, thank you so much for this.
I can share one incident that happened in Bahrain. Basically, we have this huge altar at home. So one day when we are rearranging the shrine, we on the left side, we have a statue of Buddha that is white in color. On the right side, we have a statue of Lord Muruga that is black in color.
Mm-hmm.
And outside, when people enter the house, we have a statue of Lord Ganesha that's also black in color. Now, we have been thinking, Black Ganesha and Black Murugan, black and black. It'll be a perfect symmetry for the shrine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the kind of thoughts. So we said, okay, let's change it. Let's take Buddha outside, bring Ganesha statue inside, change the shrine's outlook, and keep it like that for a while. Then after 2 days or 3 days, I get a dream.
Mm-hmm.
It is in the same hall where the shrine is kept. Swami seated there talking to somebody. I have no idea who it is. I just enter the shrine, that room, and I see Swami saying something, and the only sentence I hear Swami saying is, Buddha should be where Ganesha is, and Ganesha should be where Buddha is.
Oh.
The small change we have done in the house, Swami is watching, and Swami is saying where what should be kept.
Amazing.
I mean, is this not evidence enough for you that Swami is a silent member at every meal of your house? Swami is there everywhere you go. He's watching you. He knows what you're doing. And he's going to guide you and he's going to take care. Don't you have a better assurance in this? Can you ever get one? I mean, we are somewhere in Bahrain. And Swami tells us the shrine arrangement has to be like this. I mean, beyond that, what else do you require?
So Ganesha should be in the front.
When you enter the house, that's where the Ganesha should be, where it has always been. After we changed it, basically he told us, get it back to its normal position.
Amazing. Well, I think there are these instances when even though you know that he's there with you at every moment, but sometimes, you know, there are these sort of revelations for you where he's telling you loudly and clearly that I am there watching every second, every moment. How has it been in the corporate world, Bharat, working in Bahrain and you're the chief finance officer of a bank? How tough or easy it is to live Bhagwan's teaching when you're working with all kinds of people in a multinational bank?
To put it in simple, it's never that simple. But with what I have experienced, if you follow the simple practice of Swami, and if you're ready to stand by it, he will make sure everything works smoothly. Till today, I have said no to what I had to say no. I have said yes to what I have to say yes.
Like?
Now, even when you go to parties or even when you have to do things in the wrong way, then you have to say no. I will not drink. No non-veg. No cigarettes. Let the people force. I just say no to everything. If you are able to stand by that, for I'm just giving that as an example, automatically the respect develops. And beyond that, you don't find a problem anywhere. But I must say, I did have one major advantage.
Mm-hmm.
People never pressurized me in any way or doubted me in any way. In fact, some of them said, you are from Satya Sai Baba's college, so no problem. We have faith. You will take care of everything and he will take care of it. That's it.
Oh.
I've heard that from people who are not at all devotees, who go to drinks party, who are in dance parties, enjoy everywhere. They say that. They have that respect for Baba, even though they're not devotees. So that is one thing which actually helped me in furthering my character. In a way, it also helps me put a restraint on myself. Even if I go slightly off track, I have to bring myself back to track. Because now I'm carrying the burden. I am a student of Sai. And I need to follow the principle. So Swami will bring you into that, such that it automatically becomes your life to be a simple person. Just like Swami wants you to be.
And it is a responsibility that you like to carry, isn't it?
Pretty much. In fact, it gives you a separate kind of peace in yourself.
Yes.
Which allows you to function properly, no matter how bad the situation gets. It helps you to be in a calm and composed manner. And I'm telling you, this is one of the best feelings you'll ever get. And mark my words, if you do this, Swami is there with you in every turn. And any issue that come has just been swiped off the road, that you have a clean walk ahead.
Wow. In fact, two things come to my mind. One is this, the scene in the drama when, you know, the boss asks that young employee, Vishwa, to drink and, you know, indulge in those habits which generally people in the corporate world indulge in, and he says no, and the boss says no, it might be jeopardizing his career, and then boss asks him why you don't want to, you know, follow these practices. And the statement that he makes is so profound. He says that, dear Mr. Boss, you are what you are for the sacrifices that you have made. You have built your empire with the sacrifices that you have made, and I am building my own empire. And this empire needs these sacrifices. I am building my inner empire and it needs these sacrifices. I think that was a very powerful statement. And as you said, with time, this empire, inner empire that we are building, that gives us so much peace. We are so much protected and safeguarded in this inner empire. I think we are so much fortified with this inner empire that nothing can ever break us.
It's that one strength Swami will give you, provided you have the faith and conviction.
Yes.
That automatically determines your character.
Absolutely. Everything starts with that self-confidence, confidence in Him.
Very true.
Self-confidence straight to self-realization, but it starts with that faith in Him, absolute faith in Him. And of course, then you will automatically surrender. Beautiful. It's really amazing, Brother Bharat, speaking to you. I know there is so much more that you can share because 3 golden years in Vrindavan. But I think this lesson of surrender is what Bharat Sethuraman is all about.
It's something which Swami wants me to develop further.
Yes.
Because we start with a theme of surrender in the 91 days program.
Yes.
And suddenly I come to a drama where the indirect theme is surrender.
Surrender. Yes. And you surrendered to Swami, you know, when a flight got delayed also you surrendered to Swami. So that He could take you to the next level of surrender. Amazing. Beautiful. Thank you so much, brother, for coming to the studios. Perhaps you also never imagined that you would actually be speaking on Radio Sai, isn't it? You never thought that you're going to be acting in the drama.
I never knew I'll survive this far. But once again, it's all His doing. So no matter what fear you have, at the end of the day, just leave it to Him and say, whatever you want shall happen. That's it.
You, whatever fear, you just face everything and rise because you have Sai with you.
Very true. Very true. Can't be said better.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you very much, brother. Yeah.
Thank you very much, brother.
Yeah.
Sairam.
Tune in to Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.